Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. My name is Glenn Greenidge, and we've got Jerry.
Jerry, hey, everybody. How you doing, brothers and sisters?
Good. Enjoying a beautiful day here in New York. It was about 68 degrees, 69 degrees, somewhere in there, 70. So, of course, for those of you know a little bit about me, I was in my organic garden working on it and setting it up, cleaning it up, and getting it ready for planting season, which should be the next couple of weeks, next 2 or 3 weeks, actually. Let's start off with the declaration of the International Black Summit. And we start that out, and this today's show is actually going to be around relationships. We're going to be joined in a couple minutes by Henrietta Berg, and she's actually going to be delivering the show to us tonight. And actually, Jerry and Henrietta are actually hosting the show tonight, and I'm just running the switchboard. But I'm going to start it off with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. North, south, east, west, below, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. The International Black Summit Talk Show Network, and tonight's show is on relationships. So, Henrietta, are you back with us?
I'm back with you, Chicago, Illinois.
All right.
In the house, on the air.
In the house.
How's everybody doing?
I'm fine. Jerry Thomas from Brooklyn, New York. Also in the house.
Okay. Glenn is from Queens. And I just want you to know, since we're talking about relationship, I am in a fabulous relationship with these two brothers that you are here talking tonight. And they are actually men that like to go shopping, or they pretended like they did when I was in New York, because they shopped with me. We walked all over Queens looking for a hack. So I love these two guys, because they were very patient. And they just kept walking and kept talking until I found what I was looking for. So that's the kind of relationship I like.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's in the news? What's our current event for tonight? You know, there's a lot going on. And since our show is on relationships, you know, one of the things that I've just been made present to is this relationship that is developing. And we'll define what relationship means in a little while, I guess. But there's a developing relationship between Tyler Perry and Janet Jackson. And as, you know, word on the street, as they say, is that, you know, he was the one who was there for her. during Michael's transition, because they were in the middle of filming.
Hello?
Why Did I Get Married Too? When Michael made his transition, and so I saw them. I understand they've been on the talk show circuit. They've been going around to all the different shows because you know, the movie came out last Friday, and I saw the interview on the Oprah show that they did. Now, they were on all the other shows as well, but my understanding is that the things that Janet had to go through that we did not hear about were really, really challenging, you know, from the fans and from the people and from, you know, like all of the different things that she had to go through. And so Tyler was there for her. So on one of the shows, you know, everybody's talking about how he was holding her hand. Well, it's something about Oprah that makes people who, like, I saw a show on Oprah the other day where people who were married and hadn't had sex in 2 or 3 years, and they were holding hands. So it's something about Oprah's show that makes people hold hands. You know, the conversation I heard today was like, oh, God, but it was just the way he was holding her and the way, you know, whatever. And so one person said, well, he's been very supportive of her. And then someone said, well, on one of the talk shows, he actually asked her to marry him. And her response was, no, Tyler, you don't want any children. Now, I didn't hear this interview, so I don't know if somebody's out there actually saw that interview, you know, press the number one button or call in. Our call-in number is 646-716-9827. And this is the International Black Summit Talk Show. And we're talking about relationships. And so I'm wondering, Deary or Glenn, you know, do you think, like, Janet just broke up with her guy last year before Michael made his transition, and Tyler says, well, according to the last, the interview before last, is not in a relationship, okay? So I don't know, you know, those things change day by day. But I want to know, do you all think, Glenn and Jerry, do you think for them to pursue a serious, you know, I mean, like a relationship between the two of them, that she's kind of mourning her brother and she's kind of rebound from this relationship. What do you think that, you know, you can develop a strong relationship with those facts?
Well, for me, in a relationship, you know, at first you got to become friends first.
Can you speak up a little?
I said, before that, two people, as for Neil, they got to become friends first, and then, yeah. The question is, to me, is that we already heard that Tyler Perry feel that way about Janet. Do Janet feel the same way about him? Because, you know, they have to have a really, really serious conversation about, you know, both people be on the same page. If it's two feelings. Mm-hmm. Is going to combine together, like when you were saying that Tyler, you know, the Tyler do not want no kids, it's up to the individual. If you really care for that person, if you know that person that feel that person going to complete you, you know, you will make that step. But if you don't, you know, you just stay as friends, because being relationship is a serious thing.
Do you think that because they are friends, you know, they're already friends, but do you think that it's dangerous for them to pursue a relationship? Do you think they should wait a while until she kind of gets over her ex, or you know, her mourning for Michael has, you know, that it's been, there's been some time. I mean, do you think, and we don't really know if Tyler feels that way or if that was just part of the promotion, you know, when he actually said that. But, I mean, I'm just asking, do you think, given the circumstances, that it's a good thing to even look into?
Well, I believe that they should wait because
mm-hmm.
he did got over an ex, and
mm-hmm.
it takes time. It really takes time, especially like if it's a long, it was a long relationship as her and Brother Jermaine Dupri had.
Right, right.
So I believe that he should give her space, you know, still
mm-hmm.
let her know that I still care for her. And then, you know, in God's divine purpose, you know, if they're meant to be together, they be together. But, you know, give her some space and see what happens.
Okay. Liam, what do you think?
It does depend on the person heavily because if you've been in a serious relationship and that relationship came to a halt, and if you had future plans and so on and so forth, you know, it may take as much as a year or more to really get that person out of your system. Because one of the things that let me speak for myself. So one of the things for me is that when you break up, there's like the initial breakup, and then there are periods of time where you kind of think about getting back. You either get back and kind of test the waters out a little bit, and that period of time can be anywhere from, you know, 6 months to a year, maybe even 2 years in some cases. So it really depends on the situation and the person and the two people that are involved, because very rarely is it just over and over that clean that you can actually be in relationship with somebody else. And grieving, you know, especially somebody like your brother, Lynn, you know, to me that could, you know, that's somebody that they're very close. And as far as I understand it, she and Michael are very, very close. So
mm-hmm.
I would imagine the emotional trauma associated with her grief would probably at least, again, another 6 months to a year before you can actually separate your feet. So, I would think that it would be too soon, but that's only for me speaking about what my history of relationships have been. Maybe for Janet it's not. But, I think it's an individual thing, and I think that she's got a lot going on. And the other part that you want to think about is that when you're on the rebound or if someone is there for you when you're going through a rough period, it lends itself to kind of feel like they may be the one and you're susceptible. So you may not be thinking clear, you know, all of that. So, I mean, you know, there's quite a few factors going on, and I would, if it were me, I would take more time. But, again, it's an individual thing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like, oh, that would be nice. You know, when you think about it, God, that would really be nice. That's the way it looks from here, you know, like from over here. And then, you know, like I had someone ask me a question one time about wanting to date someone that a friend of theirs had dated. And, you know, the women have rules when it comes to that. Men have rules when it comes to that. And I've heard of all different ways, like, okay, if we're finished, it's fair ground, and I've heard you never date your friend's ex, you know, kind of like that. And then the question was asked to me one time in a situation of this sort, what if they are the one? What if they're the one? You know, and so, you know, I was thinking about that when, Jerry, when you were sharing, and you too, Glenn, and it's like, I guess the person who isn't mourning, like, and I guess in this situation it would be Tyler Perry, is it healthy, you know, is it healthy for him if he really does have feelings for Janet? You know, is it healthy for him to be so close with her, you know, or anyone in this particular position? Do you think it's healthy to be around someone who you have feelings for and they're mourning and they're, you know, they've just, you know, they haven't broken, you know, it hasn't been a year since they've ended their last relationship. You know, is that healthy? Or is anybody emotionally strong enough to handle a situation like that? You know, let's talk about that when we come back. I just need to take a break and say that this is International Black Summit Talk Radio, and we invite you to our website, blacksummit.org, and take a look at our declaration. We're talking right now in the declaration as far as nurturing relationships, and altering the conversation of who we are, you know. And I also invite you to join us at our annual event the first weekend in August this year. And our annual event is being held in Baltimore, Maryland, right across the river from the capital of the United States. So we'll be in Baltimore for the weekend beginning on Thursday with the opening ceremony beginning on Thursday and going through that Sunday, which is August the 5th through the 8th, August 5th through 8th in Baltimore, Maryland. So for more information, go to our website, blacksummit.org. Our call-in number tonight is 646-716-9827. Our conversation tonight is about relationships. You know, let's talk about us. We can talk about us, like you said, and you keep it with you. Like, I loved being in New York with you too. I mean, absolutely had a ball. Had a ball. Could have married either one of you at the end of the day. Okay? I just, that to me, that's what relationship is. It's fun. It's talking. We walked. You know, we exercised. We stopped. We had dinner. You know, we shopped. It was like just fun. And, of course, relationships are more than that. I do know. But what do you guys think is the way to start them off, to start off a relationship? How do you begin a relationship?
To begin a relationship that you guys get to know that person, see that they do they have the same likes, dislikes, find how their character is,
mm-hmm.
and just talk this conversation. And just find out, you know, what certain things, for certain places, like what they like to go to, how they, you know, if there's like, you talk about political, talk about educational, and talk about the community, you know, stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
and see what happens after that.
And so
you're asking a question, and what comes to mind is one of our distinctions for the International Black Summit, No Right Way to Be. No Right Way to Be really talks to being open to the possibility, to being present to the moment and dealing with it moment by moment by moment. As I look, I've been in all kinds of relationships. And I've been in long-term relationships that have started out and had sex on the first night and had a full, long relationship. There are other relationships that I, you know, haven't had sex for, you know, for months, maybe 6 to 7 months into the relationship. So really, it really depends on the person, it depends on the level of maturity that I am. It depends on the level of maturity that the person is, and part of the engagement is really finding out what we're both looking for. You know, one of the things as I get a little older that I can appreciate a little bit more is that it's the opportunity is to find out and to explore what's available and what are we both looking for. Are we looking for the same kinds of things? And being honest and open about it and not saying what the other person wants to hear, but actually saying what would be, you know, here's my perfect scenario. You know, what do you see about that? Is that something that you'd be interested in? And hearing their side and then maybe negotiating. Maybe I'll take one or two of these pieces of my favorite and two or three of your favorites and compromise. You know, relationships are not, I mean, you know, there's so many aspects of relationship and dynamics. And before you even look at the sex part, you know, I mean, there are dynamics of relationships that are occurring. And then when sex enters into it, it brings a different dynamic to that particular relationship. So, I mean, there, you know, there's no right way to be.
So, God. So, yeah, I got that there's no right way to be. And people want to know about relationships. You know, it's like, you know, one, I was with a group of ladies earlier today. And they, you know, when I said, you know, the show tonight is on relationships, everybody started talking. You know, everybody started talking. So I said, okay, so what's the most important relationship that a person can enter into or have other than your relationship with your divine? And so that's how we started out the conversation. And one person said, the most important relationship is the one I have with myself. And so that was that's where the conversation went. So, you know, what do you think? What do you think the most important relationship is that you have other than your relationship with your divine creator?
I said family.
Okay. Family. What about you, Glenn?
I'm looking. I'm not sure. I know that the family is certainly part of it, but I think that the thing that I'm torn or want to point to is that I've got a particular relationship with God, and that relationship becomes an extension of being related to me, you know, to myself. And so from those two relationships, I think that everything else kind of blossoms. We've got somebody that have got their hand up.
Okay.
Let me move towards the switchboard.
Okay, and let me just say for those of you who are listening, our call-in number is 646-716-9827. And if you'd like for us to turn on your mic so you can speak, press the number one button on your phone. We'll raise your hand, and you can join this conversation.
347-582, go ahead, please.
Yes. Good evening. This is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
How are you, Henrietta?
I'm
Jerry.
Good. Good to hear you.
Glenn.
Hello.
This is one of my favorite topics. I love you guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question. What do you two questions? Number one, what do you think is the most important relationship other than the one you have with the divine? What do you think?
Well, what I feel is that the most important relationship is with myself. And the reason why I feel that way is because, and I say that is because, if I don't have a good relationship with myself, then it's impossible to have a relationship.
Okay, so let me just stop for 1 minute, and if you don't mind, would you tell me what you mean when you say a relationship with yourself? What do you mean?
Okay, what I mean is this, that I know that I have, all of us are imperfect, but let's talk about me. I know what I want out of a relationship, but how do I know that? Because I know what I'm about. I know my faults. I know my dislikes. I know what I have to work on. You know, for instance, if I know that I'm right in a heavy discussion, not an argument, because you could disagree without being disagreeable, and I have to learn that down through the years. But it's the way that you deliver that aura across. You get your point across without being dogmatic, without being combative. You have to be not only instructional but encouraging, and not only passionate, but at times a little passive, you know, because if you allow your feelings, and we are very emotional creatures, females, we can mess up a good thing that's just beginning.
Hold on. So, Ray, I heard you say instructional.
Yes.
Now, you feel like in a relationship, let me just ask you, so I won't put words in your mouth. What do you mean when you say instructional?
Well, instructional meaning that, let me use an example. I'm interested in a person.
Okay.
And the thing is that, the chemistry is there. But with me, I look beyond the box.
You went out. Your phone went off for a minute. Can you repeat what you said, please? I heard you say I'm interested in a person.
No, I said with me. Let's say, for instance, with me. If I'm interested in a person, I am not going to, I'm going to be forthright. And when I say instructional about what I want, what I am looking for. You know, what are you looking for in a relationship? Well, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for you to do thus and thus and thus. This is what I prefer. There are do's and don'ts and this and that and the other. And I know I have my faults and I will act a certain way. Let's say, you know, vicissitudes when it comes to that time of the month. You know I'm out of control. It's with me. I'm out of control, and I realize that after the fact. It took me years to realize that. So when I say instructional, I would have to tell the person that I'm interested in that when you see me acting this way, it is your duty to let me know, you know, put me in check. That's what I mean by instructional, you know, about what the way I'm coming across. And I might be out of sorts. Now, you know, the thing is, we're going to have a relationship. I'm warning you about myself, and a lot of times I don't see this. I'm telling you what I'm about. Let me know. That's what I mean about instructional.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Yeah, I wanted to be clear on that because, you know, my radar went up. I was like, I'm with somebody. What does it mean from instruction? No,
yeah.
Or, I mean, there are some times where I was, you know, the instruction I understand. But I just wanted to make sure that you cleared right, that you cleared it up. And wait, and Ray, I'm single, okay? So, maybe a little instruction might be welcome.
you know, I'm like I'm a crazy lady. I'm getting questions about me, but you got to let me know. I'm
right.
That time of the month, you know.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask the second question. The second question is, do you think, like, based on your experience, would you enter into a relationship with someone who's grieving? You know, what would you do, or how would you handle it? You know, if there was a man who was in Janet Jackson's situation where he was grieving the transition of a sibling, and he had just broken up with someone that he had been in a long-term relationship with. How would you pursue him if you had feelings for him?
Well, the way I would pursue him is be there as a friend, as a confidant. Whatever you tell me, it stays between you and I. If you want to cry, you can cry. If you want to vent, you know, you can vent. Just because you're a man doesn't mean that you can't cry in front of me. You were created with tear ducts like I have. You
mm-hmm.
know, basically. Even though the feelings are strong, and let's say, including the physical attraction, my point is that I'd be cheating myself out of getting the best of him if I want him without giving him enough time. Now, he's not aware that he needs time to grieve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that rather than actually encouraging him to get into a relationship with me, I think I'd be among his best friends. To set that aside, and
okay, but can you do that? I mean, really,
I have done.
You can actually put your emotions to the side. You can put your desires, your sexual desires, to the side to be a friend for this person. And what if in this process of you waiting and giving him time, he decides to be with someone else?
Well, if he decides to be with someone else, then the thing is that I have to, it'll be very difficult for me, and I have done it.
Yeah.
It has been very difficult for me. I would have to.
And you would do it again?
Yeah, I would do it again because I
uh-huh.
have been, like I said, I've been through this, and in the end, I've gotten them anyway. You know, I always get what I go after. It's
okay.
The way I go after it. It could take 6 minutes, 6 months, 6 years. You know,
okay, so we need a class. Wait a minute, maybe in the next 15 minutes. Okay, Ray, you give us some pointers on how to go after a person.
Well,
how to do
life,
that?
Well, not just a person, but anything in life, any accomplishment or whatever. Of course, I've had setbacks and disappointment, but that just makes me more determined. And I step
mm-hmm.
back and examine the way I'm approaching a situation, particularly an emotional and mental
uh-huh.
and physical situation. Now, the thing is that I'm a very disciplined woman at times. Most of the time I'm
You said discipline? Your phone went out.
Yes, I am a disciplined woman
okay.
at times. And
okay.
then because I am a woman, then, you know, when my passion kicks in, it's like there's no reasoning with me. So because
okay.
I know that within myself, I know how to govern and keep track of my feelings, and especially if I care about this person, I'm not going to be selfish because when passion is in, reasoning is out. I've experienced that too, and I've lived to regret that. So, you know,
okay.
that being said, it's like I know if I'm after this person, I'm going to get him, but to be fair and to him.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he doesn't realize this is what he needs, because he's there in that situation, and a lot of times when you're in the situation, you don't see what's there right in front of you. Those that are not actually in the situation can see more and benefit more. If I'm going to be of help to you, I'm going to stay around you. If I feel that I'm not going to be an asset to you in whatever situation it is, then I'm going to disappear because I don't want to be part of not being a positive influence on you, you know. Now,
that's Ray. You're a gambler, baby. You are a gambler. Because I'm like, oh, you know. See, I'm the person who goes to Las Vegas and with $20, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I lose five of it, I stop. Okay?
Not me.
I stop, and I hear that. I mean, really, I hear. I hear what you're saying. You know, you got to take that risk. Mm-hmm. You know, you really got to take that risk and see. But hold on for a moment and we'll come back. This is the International Black Summit Talk Radio. And we're having a wonderful conversation with our talk show host, Jerry, out of Brooklyn, New York, Glenn out of Queens, New York, and I'm your other host, Timmyetta, from Chicago, Illinois. We've been talking with Ray, and we just want to take a moment to say happy birthday to our fearless leader, as Glenn calls her, Clara Lyons Devine. Today is her birthday, and we want to send her lots of love and hoping she's just having a wild, wild birthday today, enjoying herself. So happy birthday, Clara, to you. We also would like to invite you to our annual event, which is the first weekend in August. It begins on Thursday, so take a long weekend and join us in Baltimore, Maryland, from August 5th through August 8th. You will have a wonderful, wonderful time. More conversations, transformation work, you know, finding out how you can be an asset, a contribution to yourself, your community, your world, your life, your affairs, and you will never, ever be the same. There's nothing like the International Summit annual event. Also, go to our website at blacksummit.org and let somebody know that you want a prerequisite in your area. Prerequisite is a one-day seminar that provides all of the distinctions that we, you know, talk about in the summit. There are distinctions. There's a language, as I call it. There's a language that's spoken, and it allows you to be in that conversation to see if, you know, it's something you really want to do so that you're prepared in August so that you can just jump right in and become a part of this wonderful group of African people of African descent from around the world. We are in the States this year. We're really excited about it. And we were in London last year. This year we're back in the States in Baltimore. So please join us. Join us. Jerry?
Yes?
I'm turning it over to you.
Okay. Now, in relationships, we'll bring out some excellent points. Oh, yeah, before we continue, we have the oxygen room at 9 o'clock, 9:30. Anybody want to call, here's the number, 218-862-6420, access number 797-4834 pound. We will say the number again before we end the show. Relationships, anybody want to call for relationships? The number is 646-716-9827. Now, the thing about the relationship is also for me that we got to have a very close relationship with God. Like my brother Glenn said, if we don't have a relationship with God, what makes you think, make us think that we're going to learn about ourselves and plus share ourselves to others? And the thing about this that we had to understand, especially us of African descent, that I remember when I was coming up personally, families stick together. When us as African descent, or if I'm talking about anybody around the world, we caught when they caught, it was beautiful. Take the time, get to know each other, and then go to church, and then become a family, and everybody works together. What happened? We missed that. Number one, we lost touch of God. Number two, we do not respect each other. It's like we envy of each other. And the thing about it, we had to get that back. That's the only way we can make our community strong plus our world strong.
Yeah.
So, and then
anything.
Go ahead, my sister.
No. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You just said something that think about another conversation today. We were talking about relationships, and we were talking about Mega, which is here in Chicago. And one of the things that people are noticing is like the mega churches in Chicago were usually traditionally only attended by people of certain backgrounds. And now everybody is talking about how everybody comes to mega churches now. And so it really, you know, as I do know what you're talking about, Jerry, because I can remember when I first joined church, it was because that's where all the fun was. And if you weren't a member of the church, you couldn't sing, you couldn't be an usher, you couldn't do anything, and the church had so much going on, that's where all the fun was, you know. And so, I mean, it was probably not the route that people may have wanted, you know, to get the people in, but it got the people in because there were a lot of organizations, you know, a lot of activities that were going on for teenagers and for the youth, you know. So, you know, maybe that's something that, you know, we can look into. But we establish relationships, you know, in church, just like you said. And, you know, we all had boyfriends in church. We had, you know, parties after church. That was the best part of going to church when I was a teenager, was after church we were having a party at somebody's house, and everybody could go, you know. But we did have to go to BTU. We had to learn about the Bible. We had to learn, you know, about the different things, and it did keep us grounded, you know. It really did, Jerry. So you make a really good point that it really did keep us grounded. Well, yeah, it kept us grounded. It kept us grounded. Yeah.
And yeah, one thing that is also missing that is community work. There's a lot of programs has been cut out for years. I remember they start on the Black Panther Party had a program. It used to be a lot of other communities. They used to have stuff in the neighborhoods, like, you know, after school programs. They used to have certain classes go to certain trips, like for African American museums, or learn about other natures and stuff like that. And we don't have programs like that. That's also things too. Our community, is not strong. Because there's no family oriented in this community. I remember when I was coming up, I remember they even had stuff for the parents, you know, to talk about how they could strengthen their communities, and also they had some for the young ones, you know, how they could make an impact. And we don't have that. And so when people turn to the media and find out, oh, yeah, this is the way it had to go. No. You know, because this is how it went when I was coming up.
But as far as relationships are concerned.
I have a question. Being that we're talking about relationships, and my question is this. Once you get into a relationship and you know that's the one, and once you're into that, now you know if you're a male or female, so of course you're not going to see eye to eye in a relationship. How do you keep a relationship open and going and keep it exciting? And I feel that females have a lot to do with this. I mean, you know, when you're at odds with each other regarding decisions that you make, and it's disagreeable. Because I find that in most relationships, of course, in the beginning it's fun, it's exciting, but once you settle into a relationship, rather you live in common law or married or just dating and you get to know each other, you're going to rub each other the wrong way, and everybody knows this. The thing is how to keep that relationship going and build on the disagreements that my man and I might have, And I find that the way they do that is, you know how us females could get, we could just go and run with it and, you know, well, my goodness, woman, I mean, you said this, why are you repeating it over and over again? I find that instead of keeping a disagreement going, you put your point across, you allow your man, you know, because we women like to bogart everything when we get upset, you know. The man immediately, because it's a male psyche and it's we're dealing with men now, the thing is we have to learn to shut up. And so, well, I said what I said. And if we don't want to shut up and we don't want to listen, the thing to do, and it's very unpleasant, but as unpleasant as it is, I'm not hearing you now. I want to hear what you're saying, but I'm so upset, baby, I'm not hearing you. Give me some time, because you're wasting your breath right now. It's not that I don't want to hear you. It's just that I can't because I'm too emotionally wound up, and I'm not hearing nothing you say. Can you talk to me later, baby, about this? See,
Ray, we had a couple on a few weeks back, and Glenn, jump in here if you remember, Jerry, if you remember part of this conversation. They had been married for 41 years. And we kind of talked. Okay, and we kind of talked about that when they were on the show, and I think what they said was, communication was one thing, and it was like you have to have the same. Was it expectation? Was it goals? Which one?
Mm-hmm.
It was something like that, which meant communication. Because your expectation and your goals, they change. You know, life happens and sometimes they have to change. So it seems like it's like this constant conversation that you have to be a part of throughout this relationship, you know. And that conversation has to be authentic. You know, it has to be authentic. And
yes.
And what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? There are people who believe that you should never tell your spouse everything about you. That, you know, I mean, hardcore. You should never be 100% vulnerable. And there are other people who say you have to be 100% vulnerable. And you have to be willing to work it out no matter what. That's what they said, was like divorce is not an option. So you got to work it out because divorce is not an option. And they didn't, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was like you work it out. You know, you work it out. And you continue to talk about it until you're clear or till something changes for you. Because when you were given that example, Ray, about your monthly craziness, you know, I could see, I mean, you painted such a vivid picture. I'm thinking there ain't no way in the world I would tell you anything. Okay. if you were being crazy, I would just say, look, you're crazy. You know, you're crazy right now. I'm letting you know and I'm leaving. Okay. And I'll call me when you settle down.
But why would you say that when I have already opened myself up and said, you know, I have to learn this about myself. Not that I'm crazy, like I'm going to take a knife
right.
and be
right.
chasing me around.
Right.
But it's just that, and I had realized that the thing is that because people say, and men say, well, you got water on the brain. Well, actually, that's true with this institute. You know, when you do have water on the brain. You know, I'm into gynecology and all that, so I know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
But remember when we talked about knowing yourself?
Yes.
You know, when we talked about knowing yourself after all this time, wouldn't you know that you're crazy?
Yes. You know,
but you know what I mean, temporarily. Temporarily. No, because see, I use that with myself because I know there are some days where I'm just, you know, come on.
Well,
I know.
Yeah. I understand what you're saying, not meaning to cut you off or anything, but see, the thing is that basically it's like I find that I have whatever relationship that I have, relationships that I've been in, I've been married, I've done common law, I've dated, and all of that. But the thing is that I can say honestly, and as God is my witness, that there is not a relationship that I have been in that the once it was over that the person did not want to get back with me. Now that means I've had to do something right. That means I've had to do a lot of soul searching. Now we all, like Glenn said and Jerry said, and as well as you said, that we have to have a relationship with God. Now, as the Bible is a guideline for us, it says, "Do not let the sun set with you in a provoked state." So that means, you know, with your, you don't want to go to bed angry because you might not wake up. You know, you might, God forbid, you might die in your sleep or something. So that's a guideline right there. I mean, if I am not ready to talk before the night is over, I'm not going to have the man sleeping I'm going to sleep on the couch, or he's sleeping in the bedroom, or I'm sleeping in the bedroom, he's sleeping on the couch. That's not what's going to go on. But the thing is that if I know I'm going to be going from room to room, he's trying to talk to me and I'm not trying to hear him, I'll just go, "Baby, it's not that I don't want to listen to you. I'm just too wound up right now. Give me some time, will you?" And it works every time, you know. And that means that he has really have to be into me because I was honest, forthright in the beginning of the relationship. You know, because you said you're single. So, so I'm touching on things that you might not have even come across yet, but you will.
Well, I haven't been single all my life, okay? I haven't been single all my life, but and it's a choice, you know, and it's a choice because there seem to be some real serious do's and don'ts, you know, when it comes to relationships. And that's why I love this conversation, because I get to learn, you know, I get to learn more and more about, you know, how people think. And I love talking to men because I'm always fascinated by the way they think versus the way I think, you know, or things that I've heard or anything like that. Let me take a moment and say this is International Black Summit Talk Radio, and you're online with Jerry Thomas, Glenn Greenwich, Henrietta Bird, and our conversation at the moment is with Ray. We're talking about relationships. We invite you to join us in the Oxygen Room. Jerry will give us the number again in a moment, and we invite you to our website and to our annual event and to our prerequisites that you can request. Go online and send us an email requesting that you would like a prerequisite, and someone will get back to you. Go to blacksummit.org. And, oh, my goodness, our time has moved on. Our time has moved on. Interestingly enough, I have one more question. And Jerry, let me know, you know, if you have a question that we can discuss in this last 6 minutes.
No problem.
My question is, would you, if you believe in God and you are, you know, you take your leadership from the Bible, like I just heard you say, Ray, would you be involved with someone who does not believe, who is not a Christian, who doesn't believe in the Bible? Is that a bottom line for you? And I guess I would really like first to hear that answer from Jerry.
Well, you have some people out here are atheists that don't believe, they don't not believe in God. So, yeah, I know for me personally, it matters to me, but for the next person, it might not.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that it's not that it's wrong. I think it's up to the individual, and it comes down to it. You know, because you know you just cannot paint. See, you could paint a certain picture, but it doesn't mean that. Oh, that means it comes from me, especially if that person is supposed to help, that will help you paint what they see. So it's up to the individual. It really comes down to the individual. And I know for me, it does, you know, other individuals probably be like some like personalities, characters, events. It's up to that individual.
Okay. What about you, Glenn? Would you date someone who doesn't have the same belief, religious belief, or spiritual belief that you have?
That's a good question. I have never really run into anybody that didn't at least believe in a higher power and have some spiritual aspect. You know, may not been religious, but at least spiritual. I don't know. That I would think that that would cause some problems. Just given who I am and how I am about creating my life. And I know that it's not my life to create, but I'm being guided by God, and I'm allowing God to guide me to fulfill on what I'm here on the planet for. So I would have to say that a qualified no, in that I don't think that it would work. But again, you know, that may be the dynamic of the relationship that is the opposite that may be enough to bring us together. Because, you know, all relationships have some degree of opposites attracting. So, you know, so anyway, that's the best that I can say about it, because I've never actually been in a relationship with anybody that didn't believe in some kind of aspect of religion or spirituality.
We're in the oxygen room, and we'll pick it up. We'll pick it up with Ray. If you are going to join us tonight, we'd like to pick up that conversation with you. If you would date someone who's of a different religion and a different spiritual belief, it's time right now for our summit moment. But Jerry, if you would give the number to the oxygen room, please.
Okay, the number again 9 o'clock to 9:30. Number again is 218-862-6420. Access number 797-4834-pound.
Okay, your phone went out for a minute. 797.
I'm going to repeat it again slowly.
No, just the access number, Jerry. Just the access
number. 797-4834-pound.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Our summit moment tonight is from our facilitator retreat that we just came back from about a week ago. And one of the members of the International Black Summit stood up and just started to sing from the bottom of her gut. Thank you. And it was just magical, like all summit moments are. And she sang thank you in about three or four different, five or six different ways. So I invite everybody to create a song and think about the International Black Summit tonight before you go to bed. And just create a song out of the words thank you. And create the tune you want, create whatever it is that you want. And make sure you check in with us next Sunday. Right here, same place, blogtalkradio.com, 7 p.m. Central Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We love you so much. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. And we want you to join us in the oxygen room. Jerry, you have any last things?
The last thing that I want to say that I have learned again from everybody that participate in this show, and the one thing that I want people to understand, us as brothers and sisters, that let's understand each other, let's encourage each other, let's love, and just leave it in God's hands, and then he will work everything out. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Jerry. Glenn, thank you so much. Claire, happy birthday. We love you.
Happy birthday.
Hope you're having a happy birthday, Claire. And good night. We'll see you next week. And join us in the Oxygen Room. God bless.
God bless and peace to everybody.